Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we got a big event coming up here this Saturday, and my guess is it's at Prattonsville. Yeah, got that part right. Exploring the Revolutionary War through the lives of the enslaved. Very interesting. And we have got a table full of personalities. Number one is Margaret Crawford Parson Willens. She's with us today. Kevin Lynch, who hangs around the Museum of York County and the Prattonsville specifically. And a lady by the name of Olivia Mitchell, who says she's only here for fun. Is that true? You're only here for fun?
Oh, it's always fun to be here on the radio.
Okay, all right. So let's start off with some introductions, and we'll go ahead with you. Margaret, if you will, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I am... Oh, you've already given my name. I am a... I grew up in this community out between Rock Hill and McConnell's on a farm that I'm still... that I still live on.
Oh, good for you.
I am... a former educator. I am a retired accountant, and I just finished my term as a commissioner for the Culture and Heritage Museums.
Oh boy.
But best of all, I am a descendant of those who were enslaved on the Bratton Plantation.
Interesting. Very interesting. And we'll get into more of this later. Kevin, go right ahead and tell us a little bit about you. It's been a while since you've been here.
It has been. I'm the site director of Historic Prattonsville, and I've been in Prattonsville over 20 years at this point.
20 years?
23, but who's counting?
So your job out at Prattonsville is to do what?
Right now I'm the site manager. I think in my career I've done about everything out there, including clean toilets. I don't do that so much more. But
have you slaughtered the pigs?
Not yet. We haven't done it in a couple years, but we do in the wintertime talk about processing meat as well as hog butchering and all those things like just talked about.
Yeah. And Prattonsville, for those who are new to the community.
Yes.
How many acres is that thing?
800 acres of land.
800 acres of land. And if you... if you haven't had the experience of going out to the reenactment of the, what do they call it?
The Battle of Huck's Defeat.
Thank you, the Battle of Huck's Defeat. I think that's already passed. It is usually the hottest day of the summer. And how those reenactors do what they do and the clothing they're wearing, I have no idea. But they do it.
Yes, they do. And I don't know how they do it either.
All right. So the lady who is here for fun and fun only is her name, Olivia Mitchell. Tell us about Olivia.
Yeah. So I am the marketing manager with Culture and Heritage Museum. So that includes Historic Prattonsville, Museum of York County, Historical Center of York County, McKelvey Center, Main Street Children's Museum, all those fun places.
So you put all this together today?
I did.
Okay. So she's a fun lady. All right. We got it. All right, so somebody explain to me. Go ahead, Kevin. You take it from here. What exactly is this is going to be happening?
Well, this event's called By the Sweat of Our Brows. And this year, it's always been we celebrate the African-American story, Historic Prattonsville, and the community. And this year, since the 200th anniversary of the American Revolution, we're focusing on the enslaved story during the American Revolution. So we've got a bunch of a variety of activities going on, special tours looking at the American Revolution, hands-on demonstration, like corn shelling, blacksmithing, because there was a forge here in York County during the American Revolution that made arms, cannonballs, for the American Revolution, for the Patriots. So we're honoring that story by doing blacksmithing, cooking demonstrations. We also have a group of reenactors, British reenactors, and they're going to talk about the British role in the American Revolution and how the British offered freedom to those enslaved who joined their service. So that's a story you don't hear a lot about. So we're excited today to this weekend to tell those stories.
All right. So how do we begin to tell that story? Do we bring in our star performer here today? Margaret, are you going to start telling us about your family And your descendants, you're a descendant, your family, that was part of the enslaved community of Brattonsville?
Yes, well, yes. My ancestors, some of my ancestors were born on the plantation. They lived and worked on the plantation. There have been very little things written about their roles on the plantation. And the descendants, our role is to speak for our ancestors.
Right.
We do research. We try to find out as much as we can about their lives and teach it to other people so we can keep our legacy alive.
Sure, absolutely. Now, my guess is you don't have a lot of direct records from your ancestors?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Have you been able to find anything?
Yes.
Ah, what? Tell
yes.
me.
Well, through birth certificates, death certificates, information that we located at the Historical Center in York and the library at the University of South Carolina in Columbia.
Oh, wow.
There's a wealth of information, but there is information out there that we can piece together and come up with a scenario of what happened, how our ancestors lived.
Because back in the 1700s, we're not talking about enslaved people having writing and reading skills, correct?
They didn't. They were not allowed to learn to read and write. So it has been a task for us to try to track our history.
So what have you learned? Tell me something about what you've learned in terms of the role that the enslaved people had during the Revolutionary War.
Well, to be honest with you, I am just learning this year about the role that that the enslaved played in the American Revolution, I think.
What's his name? Kevin. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Kevin. This is your cue, buddy. Go for it.
Great segue. One of the things we have this year is we have people from our archives and history, and they're bringing documents, copies of documents, kind of the things we can find about, and those involve like genealogical clues, bills of sale, promissory notes, wills, runaway ads, to get a little glimpse of stories. Even we have a gravestone that talks about some of the American Revolution. So we're going to talk about how you piece together these stories without their own voice. So looking through documents is one of the key ways we do research.
Do you find, were there any diaries left?
Not so many diaries around here. There are some, though. I read one a couple years ago. It was fascinating, by a young man here in the American Revolution who fought, and then he traveled the country after that.
Sure. All right, so tell me what you've been able to discern from all of this.
It's great to find relatives, I mean descendants, that have that peek into history. When you speak to someone, like we know a friend, Wally Cathcart, you know, he talked about his family tradition, and he found his great-grandmother's name on a freedoms list that we had. And that's, you know, that ties a family story to a piece of fact, which you don't always get a chance to do. So making those connections are really powerful, especially in these kinds of stories.
All right, so the Brattonsville out there, 800 acres, back in the 1700s, was it that large or was it larger?
At the time of Colonel Bratton's death, he had about 1,000 acres of land. By the time of the war, I think around 500 or 600. Now, his son would grow the plantation 8,000 acres of land.
Oh, my gosh. Was it adjacent?
There are bits and pieces. We understand most of it's connected, we believe.
And so they farmed what? Cotton?
Oh, it changed over time. During the American Revolution, corn, wheat, oats, those things. Cotton comes on right after the American Revolution, 1800, and there it explodes throughout the South. So the plantation at Brattonsville is really based on cotton agriculture. But in the time of the American Revolution, that's not there yet. Things evolve and change.
Huh. So to work this farm, we had the enslaved people, correct?
Yes. Colonel Bratton used enslaved to make his fortune, to build his homes, to pay his bills. And we know one man, and we know two stories, a man named Watt, who we know is involved with a family, an enslaved man. We have a document about him. It's a gravestone, but it's a very telling story. And also we have family oral history that also tells that story of Watt and his wife, Polly.
Tell that story again, because I've heard this. It's a very interesting story.
This is a great story. The basic story is Watt was a young man there. We believe he was a young man looking at his age and when he passed away, that he was on the plantation. And then the British are coming, literally. And so Martha Bratton, Colonel Bratton's wife, gives Watt a note, and he travels on horseback to find Colonel Bratton and his troops. And that note passes them. The story goes that they came to Brattonsville based on that note, and they caught the British asleep. And that's how we get the victory of historic Brattonsville and Huck's defeat.
Huck's defeat. How far did he have to travel?
It's not clear. There's stories that talk about where they may have been, so we can't really know. I've heard estimates of 25, 30 miles.
Okay. Which back in those days was, that's a day-long ride.
It's a day-long ride. Matter of fact, they talk about traveling overnight to attack early in the morning. So those guys didn't get much sleep.
So the record as far as the enslaved people on the Brattonsville farm, did the colonel treat them well? Is there any record of that, or did he treat them harshly? Do you have any information about that, Margaret?
No, we don't know. We're assuming that they were treated decently. A lot of the information that we found about the enslaved were furnished by Bethesda Presbyterian Church.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where the slaves worshipped with their slave owners. And the Presbyterians kept very good records.
Ha! This is interesting. So the Presbyterian Church has got some information that's helped you with your story?
Yeah, they have lists that they gave to us with names of persons who joined the church.
Right.
Some of the lists give the children's names, their ages, when they got baptized.
Right.
Just a wealth of information.
So it's interesting that back in the 1700s, we had slave owners worshiping with slaves.
Well, they were in the same building, but the slaves worshiped from a balcony upstairs.
Okay. But they're here in the same service.
In the same building, yes.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, very interesting. So did you find any names from your family?
Yes, I found Crawford, a slave owner by the name of Crawford, and my family is Crawford.
Okay.
So, you know, we usually took the last name of our slave owners. So, my family was owned by Mary Crawford. I have not found out yet how Mary Crawford was related to the Brattons, but she was on the Bratton plantation and she was a slave owner.
So Mr. Crawford would have been your what? Great-great?
Great-great-grandfather.
Great-great-great-grandfather. Three greats. Great-great-great-grandfather. So, Kevin, you've got stories like this all over the place out there?
It's one of the pleasures of my job is to meet people like Margaret and hear their stories, because I think we think the past is long ago, but still with us today. Margaret's a prime example. Her story enriches our lives and helps us understand the past.
Yeah, exactly. And even though the past is not a pretty picture for enslaved people, it certainly shows us what mankind is capable of doing, whether it's right or wrong. We know that what they're capable of doing. We've seen that repeat itself in history, unfortunately. So where do we go with this? We're having this big event out there on Saturday. What are we trying to make sure people understand about this?
Well, I think you said it. We're trying to give people an understanding of the past. And I think the past is about people. And we learn about the past. American Revolution, we know of battles, great names, but there are a whole lot more people that are involved in the American Revolution that we don't know. And so this event and other events really highlight those stories, the story of Watt, Polly, that we would never know or think about. And by knowing these stories, it makes us more understanding about the past and what we look at today.
Now, you mentioned somewhere early on that the enslaved people were enticed to come fight for the Patriots. Is that right?
The British.
Long time. Okay. for the British. And how did that all get started?
Well, you know, the British are thinking, well, you know, how do I disrupt the people I'm fighting? One way is, well, the South is heavy dependent on slave labor.
Sure.
So they're thinking that if we offer freedom to those enslaved people to leave their plans, their homes, and join to fight the British, they can get more people to fight the conflict with them and also destabilize the Patriot side. And so in result, many African Americans did flee to the Patriots, to the British side.
So what was the enticement?
Freedom.
Freedom.
Yes.
That was it.
You fight for us and you have freedom. But it's interesting, the British offered that freedom, but yet there are plenty of loyalist British that maintain their enslaved people. So it's a complex story.
So once again, the enslaved people lied to by the white settlers, right?
Well, you know, I think everybody is aware of the situation, and by British offering that, they say, I have a way out of this life that has no end.
I got you. And obviously, they wanted to get out of that. Although, you know, there have been stories where once the slavery ended, the enslaved people who were not educated, really, a lot of them said, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go?
That's true. And that's why a lot of them stayed on the plantation.
Right.
Because they had nowhere to go. Or they did, but they didn't know how to.
Right. So how far back were you able to find that your ancestors finally picked up and left? Were you able to put that together? No.
Not yet.
Kevin knows. Come on, Kevin, you know.
It depends. I think Margaret said it very well. After emancipation, you have no money. There's no meaningful government support.
Right.
So I think of it today, it takes money to move, even today. So if you want to pick up and move a distance, that's a heck of a task.
Yeah.
You don't know it's a place you've never been. Your support system may be there.
Yeah.
So we see stories of African Americans leaving the area sooner rather than later. We hear about the Great Migration later on in history where people are moving out of the South looking for opportunities elsewhere.
Right. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. They're online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Okay. Now, Olivia, you're brand new. You're smiling. You're the fun lady. So here at the count of three, we're going to tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. It is in the white letters. And if you can read the King's English, you are encouraged to participate. Are we ready at the count of three? Let's tell everybody. One, two, three.
Slice.
Guard.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe. And now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. A table full of people that are involved with Brattonsville at a big event this Saturday, exploring the Revolutionary War through the lives of the enslaved. We have Margaret Crawford Parson Willens, who's with us. She has ancestors who are out there on the Brattonsville farm. Kevin Lynch and Olivia Mitchell with, what's it called? Oh, yeah.
Culture and Heritage Museum.
Go ahead, fun ladies.
Culture and Heritage Museum.
Way to go. You did well, very well. Nicely done. Nicely done. Okay, so what is going to be happening on Saturday? Who wants to tee that up for me?
Oh, we have a lot of things going. One I think you'd be interested in is we have a keynote speaker. Our historian, Zach Limhouse.
Oh, Zach.
He's phenomenal. And he's going to be a presentation. I love the title, To Last Drop of Blood, African Americans in the American Revolution.
Woo. And what else is going to be happening?
Like I said, we have hands-on activities. Like I said, corn shelling, cooking demonstrations, blacksmithing, special tours involving the story of the community, and also we're going to do special tours of our enslaved ancestral burial grounds.
Okay. Now, is there a panel? I heard somebody say a panel discussion. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, we're going to. Well, at 11 on Saturday morning, we're going to have the calling of the names. We're going to be calling our ancestors' names.
Oh, my.
To let them know that they are still in our hearts.
Good for you. How long is that list?
Well, we have two different lists this year. I'm not sure how many names we're going to be calling, but it's going to take about 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay. All right.
And then we're going to have a tour of our enslaved ancestral burial ground.
Oh, boy.
That was open to the public 2 years ago. 2 years ago. When we were developing the cemetery, we knew that there were bodies out there. We thought that there were, 40-something? And it ended up to be 400 and...
400?
481.
Oh, now does each one of those graves have some kind of a marker on there?
Well, they had rocks.
Rocks.
Stones. And they were unmarked. Because at that time, slaves were not supposed to know how to read and write. So if they did know how to read and write, they probably were afraid to engrave anything on those rocks because that would give them away.
So we really don't know who is down there.
We have one grave, an actual stone, which is with Watt and Polly, the individual I talked about during the American Revolution. And on his stone, it references his actions in the American Revolution. So we have one gravestone, which are pretty rare to have stones in enslaved individuals.
So the panel discussion is going to be what? Who's going to lead that?
The panel discussion is going to be done by the descendants.
That'd be you.
Yeah.
Who else?
And my cousins, black and white cousins.
Black and white cousins. This is getting even better. Okay. This is great. So how many of them are there going to be? Half a dozen?
More.
10?
30?
30?
Or more.
So this panel discussion is going to be outside someplace.
Yes.
You don't have a building big enough out there. We used to have that barn, but it burned down.
Many years ago, yes, we had this store.
The store. That's a great place.
It was.
You ever going to rebuild that?
We're doing other activities on the site now. We have a store. It's another original store there, Historic Brands. We've really focused all that story of the store in it, the brick house.
Oh, okay.
So if you come outside, we've got a wonderful store that kind of tells the same story in a really impressive, immersive way.
All right, Margaret, so take me back to the panel discussion. What are your 30 descendants going to talk about?
Well, we're just gonna talk. We're gonna tell as much as we can about our ancestors. Our primary goal is to draw a direct link between the first generation of people who were on the Bratton Plantation, to the living generation of people, which is us.
Whew.
That's what we're going to try to do.
That's going to be three or four generations of you.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness gracious. That's going to be something to tell.
It is. But we're going to try.
So the other members of your family who are going to be there, they've been working on this as well?
Yes.
They have. But you're the leader.
No. I guess I'm the unofficial leader.
Yeah. You're the one who's kicking them in the tail. Get this done, get that done, get this done, get that done. So what have you learned about all this? By doing all this research, what have you and your family learned about your family?
Well, we have learned how resilient they were. They really suffered a lot. They went through a lot. In order for us to be where we are today.
Yeah.
I'm an example because during the 1960s, during the Civil Rights Movement, I participated in that. I was in and out of jail during my college years.
Well,
so
good for you.
And I did that on the back of my ancestors so that my descendants.
Gotcha.
Are going to be going to ride on my back.
Yeah, well, good for you. Now, you weren't part of the Friendship Nine, were you?
No, I was in Orangeburg, South Carolina.
In Orangeburg, okay. All right. Woo, a lot of history. A lot of history. You're rolling your eyes over there, Kevin.
It's amazing history. I'm blessed and honored to work with Margaret. I think we started doing this, I would say, 23 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
2000, wasn't it 2004?
Well, close enough.
We have lost track.
So you've been assisting with all this effort to try to pull the pieces together.
Yes, it's been an effort. I've enjoyed every bit of it and how the events changed and grown. And it's been an honor to work with Margaret and other descendants. You know, I can help tell that story, but nothing's more powerful than having someone tell their own story.
Oh, that's right. I mean, family history is everything. Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody's got one, which is good. All right, so this thing is going to kick off Saturday. What time?
It's going to start from 10. It's going to go to 4 o'clock.
10 a.m. until 4 p.m. You want to take me through hour by hour? This is what's going to happen? We got a little bit of time here. Go ahead.
Sure. We kick off the day with hands-on activities going to go all day long.
Okay.
From the beginning to end. We're also going to have special tours, and those are going to be a couple times a day. I don't have exact times with me, but you'll come. We have a descendants panel. It's going to be later in the day. We have the Huck's Feet Battlefield Tour at 11, and then another again at 1:30. At 12:30, we've got that keynote presentation I talked about, historian Zach Limhouse, talking about African Americans and the American Revolution. And 2:30, we had that descendants panel that Margaret was talking about.
Okay.
And also tours of the enslaved ancestral battleground are going to be on all day long. We try to have events going all day long, so no matter what time you come during the day, you'll get something meaningful and rich.
Yeah. And if you haven't been out to Brattonsville, you need to go out there. I mean, it's out there a little ways, but it ain't that far out there. I don't live too far from it. Go out and see what this thing is all about. We got all these new people in the community. And if they haven't been out to Brattonsville, they've missed a big part of what's going on here in York County. So that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. You did so well the first time around. You're going to get some assistance from the peanut gallery back here. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and if you are literate and can read the King's English, we encourage you to participate. Are we ready? The count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Well done, everybody. Class dismissed. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.